Hello and welcome to another Just Bring It podcast. Like you can hear, we have another podcast in English. And so we have an English-speaking guest today. I guess he would prefer to speak in French than in English. But we have to find a language that fits our bows a little bit. So let's talk about our guest today. We have a guest today that's one of the pillars of the WXW tapings in the last months, and I guess one of the best wrestlers in France at the moment. Our today's guest is Mr. Tristan Archer. Hi, Tristan. How are you?
Hello. I'm good, and you?
I'm good, too. Thanks for having you here, and I'm really interested in what we are talking about. We're talking a lot of your wrestling experience and your time in Germany, but we will also talk about your character. I guess a lot of people know you in your role as Tristan Archer, but for those who don't know you, would you like to explain to us who is Tristan Archer? What's the character Tristan Archer?
Yes, no problem. I don't know if people watching or have ever been watching Dragon Ball Z, but I'm a very big fan of manga and a very big fan of anime. And one of the characters, his name is Son Goku, and he's a guy who just wants to fight against the best in the world and the best in the universe. It doesn't matter if he win or lose. He just wants to fight the best in the world and the best in the universe. And there's another guy, Vegeta, who has a very bad temper, always angry, always pissed off, always want to fight too, but not in the same mood as Goku. And I can say that I am a kind of mix of them. My gimmick is just a guy who wants to wrestle with the best and give the best match all the time. And doesn't matter if I win or lose, if at the end I get the best match of the show.
And I guess there were a lot of times during the WXW tapes when you did just this, to get the best match of the show. It's interesting how you directly connect your character to a serious character. As I first saw you at WXW, I was remembered to a really different character. I'm a fan of different kinds of musicals, and I thought Tristan Archer could be a part of the revolution in Les Miserables.
Les Miserables. Yes, it's like the name of my gimmick is the French Revolution, and basically during the French Revolution, the people fight against the king and all the nobles. Mm-hmm. They just fight for their rights and fight to change the French world, the French law, and they're against what was wrong for them at that time. So it's kind of the same, you know, because when you're poor, the people who are rich are kind of better than you, you know? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So they had a better life. They had a better cars, better house, better whatever. I know money doesn't make the world more happiest, but it helps a little bit.
Yes, of course.
So basically, it's the same. Like, I want to face the bigger guys, the best guys, and et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, the best guy get the best wages, so they also get the best gear and the best intro and the best music and the best life.
Yeah, of course.
So it could be also a parallel.
Yeah, you're totally right. How important is it for a wrestler to have a special character?
It depends. Like, if you work in very small promotion or stuff like that, it would be extra stuff or extra little something that's make you having more fans behind you, so selling a little bit more merch. If you're working for a bigger promotion, It's kind of the same, but the part of fans behind you gonna be a lot bigger. And also you need to have a character, a gimmick that that most of the people can find themselves into it.
Yeah, you know? I understand. So a lot of your character, like you described it before, has been, I would say, printed on your body as well. So you have your favorite characters, like you told us before, I guess on your right arm. What's your tattoo story? You have some tattoos, I would guess, on your body. Where did the ideas come from to get these tattoos?
It's on my both arms, and all those tattoos got a story of my own story.
Okay.
Anime, it's a lot more than cartoon. All the character got their own story and their own feelings. It's like a drama or a movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you really watch it, it's very deep. For example, I got one tattoo of Itachi and Sasuke, and Itachi sacrificed his life for his little brother without saying anything. Like years. Everybody thought that he is a traitor and he is a guy who killed half of the village.
Mm-hmm.
He did, of course, he did, because he have to, because half of the village tried to kill the rest of the village. So he did this to protect the rest of the village and never say anything to nobody, even his brother. So at the end, he revealed the big secret and just before dying. And I feel kind of the same. Like my family never had a lot of money. They were broke.
Mm-hmm.
My father was the only one working, 4 children. My mother had to stay home because she was not able to drive. And basically, when I was 16, I just stopped having holidays. You know, when you are a student, you have holidays during summer, October, December, March, April. So I stopped all of this and I went to factory trying to get as much money as possible to make sure that my parents didn't spend money for me anymore. I buy stuff for my brother and sisters, and I never said anything to them until very, very late when they grew up and when they realized why I went to factory or why I went to different places to work when I was only 16. So it's kind of related with my life. It's not the same sacrifice because I didn't die, but I sacrificed my childhood, if I can say that. I haven't been in holidays until my 26 years old. So 10 years of working during holidays just to help my family.
It's a lot sacrifice for this time, because it's a time where you have, like you told us, you have a lot of time to stay with friends or do whatever you want, and you just invested this time in your family, and that's really a great sacrifice and a great sign of how important family can be for someone like you.
It is the most important things in the world. You can change your friends, you can change a lot of stuff in your life, your girlfriend, whatever. You're not gonna change your family, and I know some family are pretty hard, whatever, but my family was very nice and unique. We got up and down like every family, but I can kill and die for my family. Really, is like they are the most important things in my life.
Yeah, it's totally true what you're talking about. Family is the most important thing that you have, and you have to look for them as good as you can. And what you did for your family is, it's really great. So not everyone would do it, but I'm really, really great that you did it.
Thank you.
So let's talk, coming from a real family man to a real good wrestler. And let's start with your first experience with the greatest scene of wrestling. We would start with the Cruiserweight Classic. You started in 2016 in the first Cruiserweight Classic tournament.
yes,
and be one of the parts of the European entrance in the tournament. How was the feeling for you to be invited in this tournament?
First, I did a tryout in London, I think in 2014. Mm-hmm. It doesn't end very nicely for me. I was too skinny for them. I've done a big diet. I was looking like a bodybuilder. I got vein on pads and stuff, but I have to cut a lot of weight. So they give me another one in 2015. And I had my regular weight, like 95 kilos, something like that. So I look way bigger, mm-hmm, even if I don't have abs anymore. But apparently they do prefer having big chest and big arms. So yeah, I can get it. And I was waiting for any news from them, because during my tryout in 2015, yes, they told me that one day I would be a part of the WWE family. So I was waiting until one day, out of nowhere, I get this mail from Kenyon asking me if I wanted, if I can be under 205 for June. Mm-hmm. So I start crying, because it was kind of my biggest dream as a child, working for WWE. And then I just answered, yes, of course I can. It was only like 3 or 4 kilo for me to cut.
Okay.
In 3 or 4 months. So it was really, really easy. Mm-hmm. So I say yes. And then a few days later, they explained me the Cruiserweight Classic tournament and the fact that I will be one of the 32 best wrestler in the world, mm-hmm, blah, blah, blah. and basically, like, it was really real. Like, when we went for the official weight, they have a replacement for us if we were bigger than 205.
Oh, okay. That's really interesting. How long did you stay with the WWE during this time? How long does it take to record the Cruiserweight Classic? Were you there after your match or just for this match?
Just for the match. We got a 6-month contract to make sure that we don't do any other TV taping for any other promotion, mm-hmm, during that time. But they flight us, I don't know, for example, on Monday, we do medicals, tests, workout session, some in-ring session, and the taping, and then they fly us back. So I would say like a week maybe, mm-hmm, in Florida, and then they call back or they fly back the guy who went to the semifinal and the final two. So they record first the first round, mm-hmm, then a little break, then they record the second round, then a little break, the third round, and the final.
Okay. Mm-hmm. How was it for you to face someone like Cedric Alexander, a later Cruiserweight Classic champion?
Yeah, at this time it was not that famous, you know.
Yeah.
It was a very cool guy, like, I think I talked to him a year ago, 2 years ago, something, maybe 2 years, 2 or 3 years ago, before COVID, because, mm-hmm, he went to France, and in France, a lot of fans get start singing "We Want Pecho" during his match.
Yeah.
So he had to stop his match and play with the crowd with that. So I was kind of, oh, sorry, man, I didn't know they were going to do this. I hope it was not too hard for you and too disrespectful. And he said, no, man, it's really cool that you have so much fans in France and people who are behind you. I'm very, very happy that the people are still behind you after all this time, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. And then we talk about, you know, life. And so yeah, it was easy to work with him. It's the kind of guy I really like to work. It's like Marius or Jonathan Gresham. Mm-hmm. I think with with a style that they really click each yeah. other, really easy, fluid, smooth.
Yeah. Yeah, I can remember this. It was a really cool match, I remember. It's some time ago, but it was really cool. And just another question, because like classic, how about working with a TV camera in such an environment? Is it a lot different to working a normal match?
It's not really harder, but you have to think all the time about the camera, and it's not really hard. The main cam is where there is no crowd. So mm-hmm. basically, when you don't heard any crowd or any reaction, you know that you need to turn on this side.
Mm. Yeah, yeah, I can understand this. Yeah, with working without any crowd, you had again in the last year with WXW, but we'll talk about this later. So it's really interesting to hear from you how the experience with the Cruiserweight Classic was, but now we will get somewhere close to our actual time, and we will talk about your time with WXW and how you get in contact with them. I read that you were with WXW for two matches in 2014 already, but yeah. The time that you have come back, I guess, was with the tournament that we had in France. Yes.
Yeah, also, yeah, but I get injured on this stuff, so for me it doesn't really count.
Oh, okay.
I don't really remember it. Mm-hmm. I get a concussion during the match.
Oh. Was this the match with Cody Hall where you got?
Yes, it was. So I spent the night in the hospital. I don't remember the oh, match.
That's really hard.
And the match is not online, so I cannot check it, you know, to see if I could have protect myself more or whatever. But if this one count, my comeback in WWE was during this tournament.
Yeah. But later you came back in the last year for a really long term, so we got you back with the shotgun tapings in Germany, yes. And I guess you were there with the shotgun tapings with a lot of cold weather and a really hard time. Is it so? Were this the first tapings? Were you there with the first shotgun tapings in 2020?
I think the first was Catch Grand Prix, and then we got the one in the very cold.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You're right.
Yeah, but the cold was fine. I do prefer wrestle in the cold temperature. Mm-hmm. It's better, like when it's too hot, it's really hard to breathe.
Yeah, okay.
When it's too cold, you just need to warm up a little bit more, make sure you don't get injured because you're too cold. Mm-hmm. But I do prefer wrestle in a very cold places.
Ah, okay. That's really interesting. How did the contact with WXW came about again at this time?
I think we were talking since 2014, mm-hmm. back and forth with Tassilo, asking me if I was available, and I was pretty busy, and I seemed pretty busy, even if it's COVID blocked mm-hmm. a little bit everything, but because I was very busy and they don't have really planned for me at this time, we've never been able to. We came to a deal, mm-hmm. And COVID changed the things. I was a lot more free because nobody else except WXW doing taping or shows.
Yeah.
So they came back to me and because of the show on the APC Paris, the talk was. How can I say that? We talk more mm-hmm. since APC Paris mm-hmm. than we've done in the past. So you make it a lot more easier.
Mm-hmm.
And we agreed to a deal. And since that day, I make all the taping and all the catch Grand Prix tournament. I'm always there.
Yeah, and you won, like I told before, you won of the pillars of the last month, the last year of WXW, and you presented yourself in really great matches. So we had in the Catch Grand Prix a lot of matches, like the match against, for example, Senza Volto, the match against, Block 2 final, I guess it was, against Mario Sanani. You made a lot of great matches in there. How was this kind of tournament, the Catch Grand Prix, for you with this kind of rules that were established in the Catch Grand Prix?
It was pretty funny to do. It's very different, and it's more exhausted than doing a regular match. All those break really kill the tempo and really kill your breath.
Yeah.
It's really hard. Like you do stuff for 2 minutes and a half, and then bam, you have to stop, breathe, and do it again. Mm. And for us, for the wrestlers, it's really, really tough.
Yeah, I guess. And always getting a little bit cold, getting a little bit out of your adrenaline, I guess. It's hard to come back with this action. Yeah? Was it during your tournament when you changed your gear from to a singlet, or was it before the tournament?
I think it was during the tournament. I tried a first singlet with no legs.
Yeah.
I designed it for a Japanese convention that I used to do in France. So it was related to manga. I liked the top. I didn't like the bottom. So for the new one, I had a little bit of a leg. So it looks like a singlet, kind of shorts, kind of bikers, you know, almost like Kurt Angle singlet.
Yeah.
And I really, really love the look that I have now with this singlet, because I got a very big chest, and I think the chest is still big on the singlet. So I think it's unique, and it makes me looks like different than the other. So I'm really happy with the singlet choice.
When we first talked about Catch Grand Prix and saw you in the singlet, I told to my colleagues Sebastian and Daniel that you look a little bit like He-Man in your new outfit.
Okay. Because
the big chest and the big arms really looked really strong in this new outfit, and that's really cool.
Thank you. That was the goal. You know, I was like trying to look a little bit stronger and a little bit bigger. So I'm happy that the people also watch it like this.
Yeah, of course, it's really, really looking good. You had a lot of time with WXW. You did the Catch Grand Prix. You did the last Wheel of Wrestling tapings. What were your personal highlights of the time with WXW in the last year till today?
My matches with Marius, and some of my matches with Emil too. Emil was the guy, one of the first foreigners I met when I started wrestling. Him and Tommy Hand, both of them were the very first I met. And during those 12 years as a wrestler, I never been able to face Emil, never. So I was really excited and really happy to finally get the chance to do some matches with him. And then my match with Marius that I really enjoyed. Like I said, there are some wrestler in the world, when you're gonna face them, it's gonna work directly. The Catch Grand Prix matches was Catch Grand Prix, so we have to make some break, and it's a different kind of matches. But the one for the Unified World Wrestling Championship was a full matches, and I don't know, I really loved it. It's like I love the tempo of the match, I love the intensity, I love the strikes, I love the moves, I love all of it, and I'm I'm not a big fan of my matches, so if I say all of it, it's really that I mean it. Mm-hmm. Mars is a very, very, very good wrestler. It's also Epsilon. So yeah, that's my highlight in WWE. Is like,
why aren't you? Don't you like your matches?
No, I never like my matches.
It's because you always see things that you can improve, or what's the reason for this?
Yes, it's because every time I watch something, I say, okay, I should have done this, I should have done that, I should have bumped a little bit bigger, or maybe throw this punch this way, or maybe be a little bit faster on this stuff, and it's, you know, it's just trying to improve myself all the time.
Yeah, that's a good idea to always improve, is it? But I can tell you as a side of a fan, you don't see this as a fan, the things that you see as a wrestler. This match against Marius at the Fan Appreciation Night was a really great match.
Ah, thank you. This match, I see a little something to change in this match, but it's not something that's gonna make me didn't like it, like, because all the rest was so great. Like, mm-hmm. we only have one matches together, and it was the Cage Grand Prix matches.
Yeah.
So it was not a regular match. And I think we offer to the fan a match that people who have been wrestled together for maybe 20 or 30 matches mm-hmm. would have been able to do it.
Yeah, it was really good and really looked good. It was a technical nice one, so I don't think as a fan you have nothing to regret, but I'm understanding that's, I have the same problem. If I hear a podcast I did before, I think they're so there, you don't have to speak that loud, that long, etc. So I can understand what you are talking about, that there's always things that you can improve, of course.
Yeah,
you already had another match against Marius, not alone, and in a six-man tag team match, and perhaps you will see another match of you both in the future.
Hopefully, they're gonna give me another match, because I deserve another match. The ref kind of screwed me, so hopefully I get my second match, I get a rematch, and this time I will make sure that he will not have his arms on the ropes when the ref's gonna go into three.
That sounds really good. So let's make a short time travel. Let's travel back in your wrestling time to your first match. Do you remember what your first match was?
In WXW?
No, in total.
In total? Yeah, I do. It was against... I'm not going to count the one that I have in Canada, because it was Battle Royal. Mm-hmm. And it's not really a match. We just throw punches and kicks until somebody grabbed me and take me out.
Yeah.
So my first match was against Styx, English guy. And then my second match was against Sylvain Grenier.
How about your experience of the first match? Were you very nervous in front of your first match, or how did you start into the match?
I'm the kind of guy who's never been nervous. After high school, we have to go and pass the baccalaureate.
Mm-hmm.
It's the final test, if you prefer. And basically during the day before, I was playing basketball all day.
Okay.
And my mother tried to bring me back home to work, because the first day was mathematics, and it was my biggest notation. And when I get back home, I just turn on the TV and I watch Fast and Furious,
mm-hmm.
because there was no stress at all, because I didn't care. So my first match was kind of the same. I just don't fix stress. It's good for us,
mm-hmm.
because it's going to block us doing stuff.
Okay.
When you relax and when you think that the people who are watching are not supposed to know what's coming up in the match, they will not be able to know if there is a fucked up or a botch or whatever. Mm-hmm. So just go for it. If something fucked up, just cover it. If I forgot something, just talk with the guy. And if the guy forgot something, just talk with him. And that's all. Because nobody in the crowd would know that we just talk.
Yeah, that's right. It's a good idea. So if that suits a lot of situations. If I'm making a lesson for a special group and I forget to tell them something, they don't know that I forgot to tell them something. So that's no problem. It's just like your way, I guess.
Yep. Yes, perfectly. Same idea.
Let's talk about your opponents during your whole wrestling time. Who was the opponent that challenged you the most so far in your wrestling career?
I would say Tommy End. Because we got a first match in France. And the next day I was booked in the Netherlands. And Tommy was supposed to face David Richards. Mm-hmm. But David never showed up. And the promoter got so many real big names of European Indies on the show, but Tommy asked for me.
Oh.
He said, I want to face Tristan once again.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, every time I had a match with him in the past, that he make me grow up as a wrestler. He give me advice. He make me think a little bit more about my selling, about my tempo, about my strikes, about the way I move and stuff like that. So I would say Tommy, but also Jonathan Gresham, mm-hmm. Chris Hero. There's so many guys I wrestle that give me a little something every time.
Mm-hmm. So instead of these guys, who else that you wrestled before or that you perhaps never had the chance to wrestle, would you like to wrestle against?
Cara Noir. I would love to wrestle Cara Noir. I think it would be very easy to work with, and we can go for very, very good stuff. I would love to wrestle Walter too.
Mm-hmm.
Would be nice, even if I will avoid all those chops because I hate chops. I got a big chest, so trust me, when you get a big chest, chops are even more harder to take.
Okay. I didn't know.
Oh, yeah, it's really painful. But yeah, Water got his own styles, and it's not about running. It's not about doing moves. It's just about wrestling, and it's really nice to do. I wrestled against Timothy Thatcher in the past, and it's I'm not going to say similar, but kind of the same, and I was really enjoyed it. So yeah, it's one of the match I was looking for too.
Yeah, some really good opponents that you choose. I guess I would really like to see those matches. Could be really interesting. Perhaps one of these. So Cara Noir is with WXW in some time, and perhaps Walter will come back and you can face him. We will see.
Yes, would be awesome.
Would be great. Let's talk a bit about wrestling in France. If you look at the French market, are there a lot offer for wrestlers and fans that you can just start with wrestling and watch wrestling in France?
I don't get the question. Can you do it again?
No problem. We will talk about the wrestling in France and look on the wrestling market. Are there enough offers for a wrestler to start with wrestling?
Okay, I get it. Yeah, there is a lot of promotion in France. I used to work in France for the most of my career when I was very young in wrestling. I got a booking every weekend. So if you work properly and if you get the good contacts, you can also do that. It's going to be pretty hard at the moment because of COVID, but there is so many different promotions in France. The only issue that I have in France is the ring. the ring is really hard. Most of them are boxing ring. So every bump is a do or die. It's really painful for a lot of guys. A lot of foreigners who come in France are really pissed about those ring. and they didn't want to come back because those ring are really hard to bump.
I understand this.
That's my only bad point with the wrestling, French wrestling ring.
Okay. So as a fan, you can also see a lot of wrestling in France, I guess.
Yes, yes. North of France, wrestling is very, very big. South is a little bit harder. They love rugby in South of France. They don't love wrestling, but in North of France, when there was no COVID, in Paris, you can have a show every 2 weeks. Northern France, you can have a show every week. We got the Wrestling Star with the biggest promotion, which is the biggest promotion in France, and they used to run 2 or 3 shows per week.
Oh, that's a lot.
Yes, with very big crowd, like 3,000, 4,000, but they don't talk about it on internet. They're just doing local publicity and advertisement, then that's all. But because they're there for years and years, I think they start in the 60s. So they have the contact with all the town and the mayor. So the mayor always book them because they know them for years and years and years and years. So it's way more easy for them to do shows.
It sounds really good. So let's talk about wrestlers in France. Who do you think are, at the moment, the top wrestlers in France?
I would say Senza, Aigle. If he wasn't taking a break at the moment, I would say La Hyène, also Salem. And they're not really French, but they're Belgium. I would say Mike D, MBM and Sombra. I know it's a lot of people, but I really think those guys work really hard and have something different, a little something that make them but you have to keep them in mind. Every time you go to a show, if they are there, you would get back home and say, oh, this guy was really good.
Okay, so if someone is organizing a wrestling show, he can just watch out for these names to get a really good show.
Oh yeah, easily.
Okay, that's good to know. Let's talk about perhaps your future or your present in France. Can you imagine training the next generation of French wrestlers by yourself?
I already do it since, I don't know, 5 or 6 years. I really try to give the young one advice or feedbacks on their work, not teaching moves or teaching stuff like that. I just teaches details, because details change a lot of things in a wrestling match. The way you move, the number of feet you do between two moves, the way you sell, also the time you take before two moves, or the time you take before between two pinfalls, you know, those little something that makes a match more intense and more enjoyable for the fans.
Oh, that's really good. Do you have a special, do you make any kind of lessons with these people, or just be at the shows and talk to them after the shows?
I talk to them or I do seminar. Mm-hmm. I just done one in Paris for APC, and I used to do a seminar for RCI called the Catch Aya. It's a French promotion in the south of France that they used to run a long week seminar. So we do seminar for 5 days, and at the end of the 5 days, the student, if they're good enough, can be on the student show. Mm-hmm. So they can put everything they just learned together and do it in front of a very small crowd.
Oh, very interesting. Sounds good. So let's come back to the actual time. We just talked before our start of our podcast about what's happening at the moment at your with WXW, but you are also coming back, or you are back to something where we started our podcast. You are back to the WWE and you are performing at the NXT UK.
Yes.
What are we seeing from you at NXT UK at the moment?
I just had one match with Joe Connors that I've been heard at the moment. But keep an eyes on NXT UK, you know. Maybe I will come back for another match. I don't know. But for the moment, they just put one of my just put this match on TV. It was against Joe Connors.
Mm-hmm.
It was really cool. Didn't expect him to be called back because I was not asking for it. You know, when you get the contacts, you can still, you know, send a message and say, hey, do you have any work for me? Mm-hmm. Do you have? But I didn't do, because I never do. And I had a mail a few months ago. I was not able to do it the first time,
mm-hmm.
because I was working as a teacher. But for the July taping, everything was cool. So I just went there. I do the training and they give me a match.
So we can see you back at WWE and perhaps, yeah, NXT UK. It's, I guess we can tell it as Walter's home at the moment.
Yeah, it's Walter's home at the moment. And it's really cool. I think NXT UK is the best wrestling product at the moment in WWE.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't say that NXT is bad. But NXT US, if I can say, it's a little bit more indie.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know how to say that.
More entertainment and not that kind of wrestling at UK, I guess.
Yeah, right. You know, like it's really technical. It's really about storytelling and working different body part and be very smart about the way you wrestle. And NXT US, it's a bit more sporty with crazy stuff. It's two different kind of wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
They're both very good, but NXT UK is more wrestling that maybe my grandparents were able to see, or my parents, whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, it's more technical, more close to the roots.
Yeah, perhaps we will see some more of Tristan Archer with NXT UK, and perhaps you have the chance to get a match or a segment with Walter in the near future. We will see.
Yeah, why not? Hopefully. I'm just going to keep my finger crossed.
Yeah, of course. So let's talk about the future. What are your short-term goals in the future? What do you want to reach in a short time?
I would love to have a title in WXW. If I'm not able to take the Marius one, I would be sad. But why not getting Aura belt,
mm-hmm.
Or the tag team belt, even if I don't have any tag team partner at the moment. I don't know. It would be very great for me to being able to represent WXW. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because when you're when you're a wrestler, you can represent WWE because you're still working for your brand. But when you're a champion, it's a lot different because people know that you are WWE. And I would love to do this. Short term, I don't really think about short term. Like COVID changed the wrestling world.
Yeah, of course.
Sure. So at the moment, I just wish that I will be able to wrestle a little bit more. I got a very, very, very busy August months, so I hope September is gonna follow the same, and I really hope October is gonna stay the same, etc., etc., etc. That's my only short-term plans, because I really want to get back to a regular wrestling booking.
Mm. Yeah, let's knock on wood for this, so you have a lot of chances to get more booking. Where do you want to wrestle in? Which countries would you like to wrestle?
Europe is really fine, but if I can have a the opportunity to move to Japan or US, I would love to. I'm not a big fan of Mexican wrestling. That I didn't appreciate it. It's just that the way I learn, it's very strict. When you hit the ropes, you need to hit the ropes in the middle. And if you watch Mexican wrestling, they hit the ropes wherever they want.
Yeah.
And it's, for me, it's really hard to follow and really hard to understand. So if I have the opportunity to do it, I will, because experience is experience. But if I can choose, I would say Japan or America for sure.
Yeah, you seeing you in perhaps New Japan would be a really nice one. It's against, it would fit.
Yeah, it would be hard for me because the level is really high. But after a few time, I will get to the level.
I guess you can reach this, of course.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the way of living with wrestling. Can you already make a living from wrestling, or do you want to make wrestling your only main job?
I would love to. I really would love to. Never been able to do it. At some point I was able to do it, but I got helps from the States, so it was not really only wrestling. But wrestling is not a sport in France, and it also not entertainment in sports in France. I think it's the same in Germany. It's not a sport, not entertainment. So it's really hard to make a living with it. It's a very good extra money. But just to be a wrestler, you need to be signed by a big promotion. Like, if I get signed by WWE, I will make a living from wrestling and I will stop my regular job. But that's the only way. I think WXW give contract to the trainer and to some guys, so they can only be wrestler, and that's really cool because you can focus on your work, you can focus on your workout, you can focus on anything that's come to wrestling, and that's awesome.
That really sounds good. So I will fingers crossed that you can sometimes make a living out of your wrestling, because it's just great what we can see of you, and I guess a lot of good or big promotions can see this as well. So WWE are getting you back at the moment. Perhaps there's a way for you.
Yeah, for the moment it's just extra. So let's see what's coming next. Like, even if nothing come up next after that, I would be very happy with my experience over there. It's a one week and a half training, and get back in front of the very big TV crew. It's a lot of pressure. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of experience. So whatever happened next, I'm very happy with those 3 weeks over there.
And we are looking forward for seeing a lot of you at the WWE Network. We can also see you with WXW on WWE Network, but it's also cool to see you with NXT UK.
Yeah.
So let's talk about how we can support you. Yes, of course, we can watch your matches, but I guess you have also a lot of really good-looking merch. Where can we find your merch?
You can find my work, my merch on the catchmymerch.com. It's a big cartel stuff. So it's catch, CATCH, my, MY, merch, MERCH. Big cartel. You're gonna find my new merchandising. You can also contact me on my social media. I can directly talk to you about it. I have some, not a lot, but some of my old merch available. And you can also order on the what's the website in German?
SL Wrestling, do you mean?
Yeah, SL Wrestling. Yeah, also they got unique design that they are the only to have, and you can order any merch from the past
Oh, that's cool.
On this website. I send them all my former designs, so it's really cool.
Yeah, that's cool. And I can tell everyone who's here, who's watching and who's listening here, if you can contact Tristan Archer via social media, he's a really nice guy and he responds to your contact. So don't be shy.
All the time. If it's in the spam, could take me a few days.
Yeah, of course.
I always answer back to anyone.
That's really great.
So it's normal, I think. It's the people take time to just find me and text me or whatever, and they are always there to the show, and people buying merch and people just trying to be nice, and it's really cool when you can have people just being nice. It's a hard time for everyone, and I think it's cool when somebody come and say, hey, I really love your work, and I think it's also really cool if I just say, oh, thank you very much. It's a little something, but it's still something to make positivity out of this world.
Yeah, of course. Really good kind of thinking about such situations. Tristan, it was a pleasure for me to talk to you about your wrestling career. Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much for having me. It was very nice discussion.
And you are welcome anytime again. If you want to talk about some specific topics, just come back to me and we will talk next.
Perfect.
So for our listeners, thank that you have listened to us again, and I wish you a really good morning, day, evening, or afternoon. And we'll hear you again. Bye.